And we've got Nick Isidori from Emerson, New Jersey.
That's right.
Big New York sports fan, Nick.
I am, Ryan, yes. Some probably would say it's an unhealthy obsession.
Who would those people be that say that? Do they know you well?
Everybody.
Yeah.
So I have a list of priorities in life. And I prioritize that this is in order. The New York Football Giants, my family, and then breathing right after. So
you should look up the definition of priority.
I've been told that one too, right?
Might help out.
I've been told that one too.
Well, it's great to have you, Nick.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Weiss here with you. I got a special, special episode for everyone. Nicky Snacks, Wheel of Fortune legend, Giants fan. I sort of consider him a Giants fan on some insane drug, because every time you see him, that man is always turned up all the way. I mean, he is special, special guy. But Nicky Snacks, good friend of mine, kind of likes every... Take that out, Nick. Great friend of mine, and I am excited to talk Giants with him. It's been an interesting couple months with the Giants. Obviously, ever since the decision came down about them retaining Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, the other questions were, hey, is there going to be any changes to the coaching staff? As of right now, it looks like Mike Kafka is going to be coming back. Shane Bowen, I'm pretty certain, is coming back. Not a lot of changes. The one change that we could see, or probably going to see, if Mike Kafka does not get the Saints job, which it seems like Kellen Moore is the front runner, he's could get play calling back, which, again, you talk about dysfunction, you talk about lack of direction. You know, these are the things, man. Even though Brian Daboll probably should give up play calling back to Mike Kafka, it's also weird that you stripped the guy of play calling a year ago, and then a year later you're giving it back to him. Just doesn't make sense. I think a lot of the reason why Mike Kafka's still here is optics. There's still questions like, do these guys even, I mean, I know the success of 22. I know Brian Daboll hired Mike Kafka, but like, do they still see eye to eye? Like, if this team plans on bringing in a young quarterback, you know, like, you're going to have Shea Tierney, Mike Kafka, Brian Daboll, the most important people working in the, for developing this young quarterback. Well, if they don't see eye to eye, how does that impact development? Like, is the infrastructure in place? So again, just very, very confusing. I'm on face value, I'm happy if Kafka calls plays. I think Brian Daboll should focus more on coaching. And then, you know, optimistically speaking, maybe Brian Daboll looked in the mirror and said, what do I have to change as a coach? And maybe this is one of the things. So I don't know, but just instant reaction. I think this is all about the fact of wanting to keep Mike Kafka. He is one of the highest paid coordinators in the NFL. And giving him back play calling is just an optics thing. How... I don't know how it'll play out. We'll see. But there's that Senior Bowl stuff. Interesting comments from Joe Shane, who basically said, we didn't basically say this, he said it, that Shador Sanders checks all the boxes. Well, if he checks all the boxes and you're a team in desperate need of a quarterback, you pretty much just told us what your number one plan is. Now, I know... smokescreen, blah, blah, blah. Well, what is a smokescreen for? It's not like the Giants have the number one pick and are trying to put the smokescreen out there that, hey, we're going to take Shador, hoping another team comes up. Two teams picking ahead of you need a quarterback. Is that really a smokescreen if you're putting it out there that you like Shador Sanders? What do you want somebody to come up ahead of you? I just don't know how that's a smokescreen. I've said it at the end of the season when Nick asked me who I think the quarterback is going to be for the Giants. I still think they're going to find a way to get Shador Sanders, whether that's staying at three and getting lucky and having him fall in your lap, whether that's Tennessee taking Cam Ward and then they working out a deal with Cleveland, just somehow, some way, I believe, come April draft night, I think Shador Sanders will be a New York Giant. That's where I am right now. But it's also very early in the process. Senior Bowl week, East-West Shrine Bowl going on. Once we get out of the combine at the end of February, that's when I think we'll start to see stuff kind of come into place. And we'll start to paint a better picture based on the reports that are going to come out about the Giants' draft plans. Super Bowl week coming up. New Orleans, Philadelphia, Kansas City. It might be just wishful thinking, but I just think Kansas City is a team of destiny. I picked them at the beginning of the season to win a Super Bowl. I think they're a lot better than what they were last year. Hollywood Brown healthy. I think DeAndre Hopkins there. Xavier Worthy's having sort of his best games late in the season. Their offensive line's gotten better with Joe Tooney playing left tackle, which is one of the more underrated stories about the Super Bowl, if the Chiefs won it, is the fact that they have a guard playing left tackle, and that sort of settled their offensive line down. And their defense, like, this has been their strength all year. Steve Spagnuolo's defense, they're really good defensively. They're going to be the best defensive team that I think the Eagles face. And obviously stopping Saquon Barkley is going to be their number one thing. And then, hey, Jalen Hurts beat us. And he could beat him because he has the offensive line to give him time and the receivers that can get open with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. The Saquon Barkley thing is so important because I think the Eagles signing him, you know, it's the on-field stuff and the 2,000 rushing yards, that's one thing, right? But his impact on the Eagles has been, there have been time, like, let's remember how the Eagles season ended last year. The losing streak, getting smoked in the playoffs, all the talk about Sirianni's job, the relationship with the quarterback, Jalen Hurts' relationship with A.J. Brown, like, all that stuff. It was not good how their season started. Every time it appeared that the Eagles season could derail, especially early on, number 26 was the guy that calmed everything down. With his play, obviously the leadership, he has been the most important player for the Philadelphia Eagles. When Jordan Mailata went down, Lane Johnson went down, the issues with Brown and Hurts, later in the season, and Brandon Graham kind of admitting that they don't like each other, like all that stuff, Sirianni's coaching decisions. When push came to shove, it was 26 that calmed them down, whether it's by him making a big play, his leadership on the sideline, something, he has done something where he's kept that team together, and they are, because we know they're very talented. We know that they were the most talented team in the NFL, or one of the most talented team in the NFL. But as we know, with the talent, there's been issues that have derailed them in the past. But with Barkley, that has kept them together. And on the flip side for the Giants, you know, obviously the whole thing about the running back and paying them and where the Giants were, the one thing that they maybe underestimated or didn't do a good job filling was Barkley's leadership. And I think that it's translated well in Philadelphia, and the Giants are still searching for that leader. Forget about the talent for a second. Talking about the leadership, and that's lacking with the Giants. And on the Chiefs side, three in a row would just be in today's NFL with salary cap and how everything changes. Remember, they had Tyreek Hill. They traded him, and they've won two straight Super Bowls, and they're, I think, on their way to win their third. So just speaks to the greatness of Andy Reid, speaks to the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, the fact that they've just, this run has just been amazing. And each year has been a different challenge that they have overcome. And now I think this is, overall, this is probably the best version, I think, of the Chiefs, offense, defense, special teams. And going into the Super Bowl against the Eagles, I think they have the horses to to sort of not only match them offensively, but I think they can get to the quarterback defensively. Remember, the Los Angeles Rams in that snow game, they got to Jalen Hurts. I think they sacked them 7 times. I have faith in the Chiefs' defensive line, especially with Chris Jones. But on the flip side, the Eagles' defensive line is a lot better too. So I guess it's going to, to me, it comes down to who do you have more faith in, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni or Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? And it's always going to be Mahomes and Reid. So should be a fun Super Bowl week. Interesting to see how the storylines of the rematch and all that. I think Barkley's going to be a big topic of conversation, especially on media night. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions about the Giants. And I know this has been miserable for Giant fans. But it's just, I guess we're used to it by now. But yeah, that's sort of my intro into the episode. Excited to get Nick on. So let's do the Nicky Snacks interview. We now welcome in our guest, Nicky Snacks, one of my favorite people on this earth. Him and I talked a lot during Giant games, talk a lot via text. He's sort of my shrink because it's crazy as it sounds. But anyways, Nicky Snacks, Giants fan, Wheel of Fortune legend. How are you, my man?
I'm very good, my friend. And the fact that anybody would ever call me their shrink means they got a lot of problems, deep-rooted ones, because...
Yeah, with my sports teams, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I know, and we're very much aligned in all of our teams, so...
Yeah.
Right there with you. Specifically, the football team that the podcast may be named after, so... Yeah, that's where we're at, but I'm doing good. I very much appreciate you having me on. I don't know about Wheel of Fortune legend. I didn't get the bonus round, but
that was a tough one.
It was impossible.
Yeah.
It was, they gave me one letter.
Yeah.
One letter. Sorry. I don't mean to yell, but I got pissed thinking about it.
It was tough. I watched the clip and I was like, okay, let me sound it out. I actually even paused it while the timer was going off. And I was just like, I think I said Casablanca or something like that. I was like, that doesn't
work. I was thinking like, hold something. I had no idea, but then I realized they didn't give me an L. It was all bullshit. I was very, it's funny. I went to bed that night, and for anybody that didn't see, I won $25,000, and I made it to the bonus round as the winner of that show. I also won a cruise to the Mediterranean, which I'm very much looking forward to. But I went to bed that night after my taping in November. And my girlfriend and my dad went to sleep. I was up in my own thoughts, in my own head. And you know me pretty well by now. That's never a good place to be, because what goes on in this head up here is never, never good. And I struggled to go to sleep because I was so angry I didn't get the bonus round. And I wake up and I tell them both, I'm just like, I can't get over it. $75,000 more, I would have walked away with $100,000. And they both talked me off a ledge. They're like, Nick, you didn't have a chance.
Yeah, you had no chance.
I was like, I know. And like Ryan and Vanna said that off the air as soon as I was done. So that's the only solace I take in it. I didn't have a chance. So.
Well, let's rewind a little bit. How did this whole Wheel of Fortune thing come about? Like, was this like, did you submit an application? Did you know a guy who knows a guy? How did this whole thing work out?
So I did not submit an application or anything. I got a text message from a recruiter from Wheel of Fortune. And I'm like, I've been a big Wheel of Fortune fan my whole life. I'm going to be 32 in March. I have loved it as long as I can remember watching television. We've always watched it at the dinner table.
You and my 62-year-old mother.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's got great taste. So I thought it was spam. Like, I'm getting this random number with a random link. I was like, spam, don't message me about Wheel, because I thought it was a joke. And I love Wheel. And I was like, when I initially saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It turns out that when applicants are low for a new season, recruiters wind up calling like bars and restaurants where a lot of people patron, just to kind of get a feel if anybody knows anybody or anything like that. And a girl I graduated high school with, she owns a bar in North Jersey. And they called that bar and she's like, no, I don't, I have no interest, but I know somebody who would. So she gave them my name, my info, my number, everything. And when I texted back after I got the text from the recruiter from Wheel, and I said, spam, Brittany's her name. Brittany calls me. She's like, Nick, it's not spam. It's real. Click the damn link. And I'm like, all right. I click the link and it's real as it gets. And I'm like, so I text back. I'm like, Cynthia, I'm so sorry. I thought this was spam. I'm from New Jersey. This is a very weird area code that you're texting me from. And I love Wheel of Fortune. So I thought I was getting punked. And she's like, no, Nick, it's real. Can you please have a 30-second, or she didn't even give like a time frame. You send an intro video. So, you know, me being the spectacle that I am, I had my girlfriend videotape me for like a minute and a half. And I was playing Wheel of Fortune on the Nintendo Switch. And because it's what we do that like every night.
You're a hardcore fan.
I'm a hardcore. Yeah. I love it so much. And literally the next day, I guess they must have liked the video. The next day, they're like, can you audition over Zoom? And I'm like, yeah, I could. So I audition. I do great on all the puzzles. But then I don't hear back for like 2 or 3 months. And I'm like, damn, that really sucks. Like I thought I knocked it out of the park. And for many reasons, I will never forget Election Day 2024, because that morning is when I got word that I was selected. And they emailed me. They said, here are three dates. Please let us know any that really don't work. And I didn't want to say any didn't work, because then I figured, oh, well, I'm not going to get on. So I was like, nope, I'm good. Whatever, I'll take off work. I don't care. Whatever date you guys choose for me, I'm in. Sure enough, they gave me November 20th, which was 2.5 weeks later. So I didn't have much time. So I flew out to Cali, did the thing.
They pulled all inclusive. They flew you out.
No, so that's what sucks. They don't fly
Damn,
you out.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune. What the hell?
I know. They give out all this money.
Even Jerry Springer flew people out.
I know. It's terrible. I was pretty stunned by that. But again, I mean, it didn't. I wound up using MX points and like.
There you go.
Cut the price down.
You didn't hitchhike your way to California, did you?
I pretty much, yeah. I would have walked there if I had to. But the hotel room, they didn't put us up in the hotel room, but they gave us like $300 a night discount, because the hotel was nice. It was 10 minutes from the studio. And you know, these Los Angeles hotels, they are not cheap. So yeah, that was it. And then the day of my taping was a very long, I got there at 6 a.m. Cali time. So I guess 9 o'clock our time. My taping finally went off at like 2 o'clock. And I got lucky because they tape 6 shows in one day. And they
really?
Pick out of, yeah. So they pick out of a hat as to who goes and what game. And I'm like, man, if I get the fifth or sixth taping, I'm gonna be here all night. And that's gonna be miserable. I'm gonna be exhausted and dead by the time I get up on that stage. Fortunately, I was the second game and I was able to bounce after that. So in total, it really worked out so perfectly. It was an experience of a lifetime and something I will definitely never forget.
Yeah, you you said something very, like, it went pretty viral. Your top three things, right? It was the Giants. I think it was your faith and then your family.
Did it was right? it was the New York Football Giants in order.
Yeah,
this is what I told America. The New York Football Giants, family, and then breathing. So, So yeah, I didn't lie to the American people. Like I did not. That is exactly it. I took my girlfriend on a date, our first date, and the first thing I said to her was, "You will never be more important than the New York Giants."
Hey.
I felt true to it.
It's sad.
It's terrible.
Right.
But
that's the truth.
It's the truth. It is the truth. And then I felt bad for her and my dad, because I won, and then they showed them like they panned.
I saw that. Yeah,
and I'm like, oh man, these poor people.
well, that's the thing. I bookmarked this tweet on Twitter from somebody that said, "This Nick guy on Wheel of Fortune is going to be single by the end of filming." He started the show by saying, "The New York Giants come before his family and breathing." And then Ryan Seacrest asked him between his father and girlfriend who's going on the cruise. And he said they have to fight each other.
Yep.
So
Mary Elizabeth, I know exactly who tweeted it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mary.
I think she's just jealous because you're not taking her on the cruise.
Hey, listen, you never know. The applications are still open.
$25,000. Any do you get it right away or is it like mailed to you or
no? So I don't see it for 120 days after my air date. So not even 120 days after I did it in November. It's 120 days after January 14th when it aired. So,
jeez.
It's actually probably a good thing. I may not be alive to even see it. So I have no idea. But I'll give it to my better half and do whatever she
wants. What about the cruise? When is the cruise happening?
So we have until December 2026. To book a date. So they give you a very big time frame. Like, I'm ecstatic about it because I have multiple weddings this year. Just a whole lot of stuff going on. I work in healthcare, so it's always difficult to take off. You don't want to take off. So it's like, it's just tough. So we have a lot of time before I have to finalize a date. So thank God for that. And I'll get to see the motherland, not Ireland.
That's awesome, Nick. I was so stunned when I saw you. I was like, what? How did this happen? But
yeah,
I was happy for you. But
only me, right?
Yeah. Only you, yeah. I could never, it's wild. But anyways. Yeah,
and everybody's like, Jeopardy? I'm like, listen, you do not want to see me on Jeopardy. No,
I would embarrass myself. Wheel of Fortune, you spin that thing, pick a letter.
You got a shot. You got a shot. Like
anywhere between 5 and 10, 15,000. Yeah. Meet Ryan Seacrest. I wish it was Pat Sajak, though. That would
have been you and me both. I know. Yeah. But I will say, Ryan Seacrest, phenomenal guy. He is genuinely a good guy. Yeah. Yeah. Like off the camera, just bullshitting with us. Really, really nice guy. Yeah. And Van is a sweetheart, too.
Yeah. She's still very good looking.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
All right. New York Giants. It's crazy. So to our viewers, I want to disclose something. So around November, December, everyone is talking about the future of the Giants and what's going to happen. And a lot of people have come to this conclusion that there's going to be this massive change. And I think I texted you out of the blue and I was like, I got to talk to somebody. And I was like, let me text Snacks. And I was like, you know what? What do you think? Because where I'm at, it's like, I don't think there's going to be change. And there's multiple reasons why I thought that. But, and you sort of agreed and you're like, yeah, I don't think there's going to be change either. You told me some why you thought that. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not here to why there wasn't change or whatever. My question to you is, where are you mentally with this football team? Because a lot of people have already checked out of next year. And it's
hard to blame them when you look at the schedule. I will never be checked out. I will be watching every snap, every year, every play, all of that. But I am definitely, I'm fried. My mental state, my emotional state, I can best describe it as completely and utterly fried. We have an owner that, his end of the year press conference, he's saying
this. That was really embarrassing.
It was horrible.
That made me dig my grave even more.
Yep. And Weiss, I think we agreed. We both said in that text thread, like we want the regime to go.
Right.
We don't want it to be one or the other. So like it's either they both stay or they both go.
The whole one and the other thing. As we saw with these head coaching searches, it doesn't work out.
No, never. It never does. And, you know, obviously our preference was that they all go because you're going to have a top three pick. And we know We know what this regime has to do. They have no choice. And this is kind of, this is what I've been so, to Mara's point, he goes, I don't think the roster is as good as it was when they took over. Okay, well, strike one. If you, right. if you don't think, I kind of disagree. I think it's better, obviously, but which is not saying much. But okay, that's strike one. I'm losing patience. If you're losing patience, did you have the foresight to maybe look at the schedule next year and you're going to be sitting there with a 3-4-win team the next year with a probable rookie quarterback and you're going to fire them after that? Why are you going to retain guys who you know are desperate and they got cap space, they have this top pick, you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to spend, they're going to do everything they can to get a quarterback that may not be worth a top three pick. Now, I know you do your extensive homework on these guys. I cannot sit there and say I do outside of watching college games on television.
Right. I'm not far behind you, but I do.
No, I know, but you go a little bit more in depth.
Right.
I don't see a top franchise changing quarterback in the top three right here. So that makes me worried. Why not just rip the Band-Aid off right now? Bring in a regime that's not desperate, that maybe there is somebody that falls in love with a quarterback that slips to three and you can trade back like the previous general manager didn't do and set us back this far already. So I just overall state of mind, I'm baffled at the fact that they're both back. Now I don't like the comparison. Shane or Gettleman's better than Shane. We both know that's not true. Yeah. Although Joe Shane has not done a good job. Yeah, his process is better. Yes, he upgraded the technology.
I just think it's embarrassing that we're comparing the two.
Well, itself is horrific. Like, have we stooped? That's the bar.
Exactly.
That's the bar.
Right.
And your podcast co-host, who's that squirmy kid? Ethan. I hate ever agreeing with him and being aligned with him. But me and him had texted back then when they were doing the general manager search with Joe Shane. We liked Adam Peters. So now, granted, you get the second overall pick, you get Jaden Daniels, things kind of move quickly.
Yeah.
But seeing that success and seeing him as a finalist for us is just like, damn, man, we just cannot get it right. Can't.
I think with me, it's not even about the quarterback position, Nick. It's about, like, they don't have talent.
No, they're lacking talent everywhere.
Everybody's fixated on the quarterback, but I'm like, let's look at the roster. Like, where are the great players?
Where are the good players? Like, let's look at the premium draft capital that they've used. Where, let's see, I'm trying to find somebody. And that's the most concerning part. I know people with the quarterback, it's like, to me, it's like you talk about Adam Peters. And I'm like, I don't want to crown somebody yet, right? Like,
let's see what, of course. Right?
But with Joe Shane, it's like 3 years, you don't have with a quarterback little. With a lot
without
of.
Without a quarterback with a with lot a, of draft capital.
With a lot of draft capital, a lot of money spent. And I'm looking at the roster and it's like, damn, this is a really bad roster. And yeah, I mean, look, I think when that meeting took place with him and the ownership group, it's clear he sold them on some vision. Yep. And I think that vision was, there is a quarterback in the 2025 draft that I like, that we like, and we're going to get and is going to turn our fortunes around. And he probably used the Houston Texans as an example and the Washington Commanders as an example. And I think that's the selling point. And I think the owner bought in because I think he hired these two guys because of the fact that they drafted a quarterback in Buffalo or were a part of drafting and developing a quarterback in Buffalo that turned that organization's fortune around. So that's what I think he sold them on and it worked. Then he did the press conference, and I'm like, so, like, if he would have stood up there, like, we talk about the bar is so low, right, Nick?
Yep.
If he would have stood up there and said, hey, I know we made some mistakes. I'm not going to get into each one. I still believe in their vision of the roster. I know it's not good. We got to draft better. We got to develop better, blah, 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 blah. You know, if he would have said that, that would have lowered the temperature a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he went over there, put him on the hot seat, and then on top of that, said the roster is not better than what it was when they took over. So well, what do you think they're going
to
do?
It was absolutely, it was baffling. Like, to your point, I would have still been annoyed, but I would have been okay if he went that route.
Yeah.
Instead, he's shitting on everything that they've done, but he's bringing him back. His patience is thin. There's no way. So to me, like I think it's the worst kept secret. We're drafting a quarterback, and it's gonna be in the first
there
round.
There is no like, oh, we're gonna sign Justin Fields and take Jackson Dart in the second round. That's not the
vision. This regime can't afford that. No.
Yeah, that's not what this is about.
No.
This is not. We're gonna go get a quarterback, and one of these two guys is gonna be it, and that's it. Now, obviously, there's a chance that they could strike out on that, right? Like they did last year, but I just think that's the conclusion I draw.
So
coming out of the end of the season,
100%. And yes, if Warder Sanders or if they go 1-2, which I don't think they're going to,
I don't think so either.
Don't think so. So I do believe that they will get one of them. If they don't, you know, worst case they go 1-2, they will trade up into the second round and they will take one of the Darts or the Milroys. Like they will be taking a quarterback. They have no choice. But that's the most irritating thing to me. You're gonna let this regime finally get their quarterback in their fourth draft, which. Whatever. And then I would probably assume you're aligned with me. And granted, the NFL is an ever-changing. It's year to year.
Yeah.
But with that schedule and with where our roster is right now, completely agree. It is bottom five. That team is not winning. I cannot see more than five games next year. And when John Mara says, they better turn it around fast because my patience is running thin, you're essentially saying they have to go win with a rookie quarterback with a very crummy roster, and you're not going to give them more than 1 year of development with the kid. I would have rather him say, you know, we're looking at the quarterbacks. When they get their guy, I'll let them. Of course, no owner's going to say this. Give them a 2-year window. I would really like to see the team develop by then. It's almost like the Rangers, when the Rangers put out that note to fans, the letter to fans saying, guys, we are going to rebuild. It's the best for the future and the longevity of this organization. We are going to be trading fan favorites. They openly said this to us. We expected to be bad.
Right.
But they had a vision. And I can believe in something like that.
Me too.
This I cannot believe in.
No. You're absolutely right.
There's nothing.
Yeah. Like I said, if he would have stood up there and said, listen, they haven't done a good job, and I'm paraphrasing, right? Like, they haven't done a good job. Yeah. You know, obviously, the roster is not where we want it to be, but I believe there were some things done that didn't work out that I would have done, right? We know what messed up this roster, right? We know why they're in the position they're in. But I'm still confident in these guys, and, you know, I feel like we had a good draft, we're heading in the right, blah, blah, blah. But when you put them on the hot seat and then you tell them you got, like, just imagine how this thing plays out. They have the salary cap space. The roster is what it is. Imagine if they have to go move up to get a quarterback.
Oh. Huh.
And then let's say they spend some money to improve the roster, right? And let's say they win, like you said, five games. Then what do you do?
Yeah, great question, Weiss.
And let's say the quarterback is like rookie quarterbacks are up and down, right? Like, let's say he has a rookie year, like I don't like Drake May did, right?
Okay,
where it's
fine.
Like, where it's like up and down. There's some stuff there, that
but
you
there's
like.
Glimpses.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. But the results are, you know, 4-13 or 5-whatever, right? Then what do you do?
And that's the thing. That's why you either rip the Band-Aid off or you give them contract extensions and say, hey, I'm in it. I believe in their
right.
I believe in their vision. I believe in this. No, what John Mara decided to do in that press conference was make an already irate, angry, miserable fan base even more angry, irate, and miserable.
Right.
Because of his words. I'm telling you. Like, as a Ranger fan, I've been using this analogy back and forth with the Rangers and where the Giants are now. If I was being spoken to honest by the owner of my favorite team, and I know the last decade's been horrible anyway, I can wait a couple more years. If Correct. You're telling me this is what's coming and you believe in them, you know what? Okay, fine. I have no choice but to trust in it. I may not agree with it, but at least you're being open and honest with me. Don't give me this half-ass shit and going back and forth. I I can't do that. I have no respect for it. I have no time for it. Nothing. So I have no idea. That is literally, that is the nightmare scenario. The rookie quarterback, it shows glimpses. We win 4 or 5 games. Then what?
Yeah.
He's going to feel the need to fire him. And it's going to be a mistake because the next regime may not like this quarterback.
Then what? And you don't got the draft capital either. So it's
nope.
like,
nope.
What do you do? So
it's not like you're going to have the number. You probably won on the number one pick. Maybe you look into that. Like the Arizona Cardinals did when they drafted Rosen and then took Murray because they loved him and they had a new regime change. It's just it frustrates me.
Here's the funny part. What happens if he lets them trade a future first round pick to go get a quarterback like that? Well,
then he better bring them back no matter if they win one game or what, you know what I mean? Like then they have to be back because if they're not, and you let that regime trade the future for your next regime, sell the team, sell the team. You don't belong here. Sell the team.
I have never seen an owner put a regime on a hot seat while simultaneously telling them that they need to go find a quarterback.
It's baffling. It makes no sense. I was genuine. I'm a pretty stupid person to begin with. So, when I become fully dumbfounded by hearing something, when I heard that man talk,
me too.
I had to rewatch all of it.
That press conference pissed me off more than him keeping Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Believe
no question. 100%. It made it 20 times worse. Yep.
Yes. It made it so bad.
We just outlined how he could have calmed this thing down a little bit to a fan base that is rightfully.
Oh yeah, they're
fed up and angry.
Right.
He had a chance to make it right, and with his reasoning of bringing these guys back, and he absolutely shit the bed. Like
yeah, he could have turned the temperature down. Instead, he just burned the building down.
He literally could have went from spring to winter just like that, and he didn't.
Yeah, nope.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
I didn't want to say summer because that's very drastic. So I
that's that TV Hollywood in you that's coming out.
Yeah, you know, I'm going for the prices right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're perfectly aligned in how we.
Well, this is where I think we're not aligned.
Okay.
I like Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. I do want to preface by saying I don't dislike him, if that makes sense. I'm not in love with him that he's gonna come in and change for. I don't know. I do like him. I think Cam Ward maybe has a higher ceiling.
I hear that a lot. The higher ceiling stuff.
Right. Just
I just think he has better highlights. I don't know.
Fair point. And he played in front of a line that literally I don't know if you saw that, but he just stood there like this for like 5 seconds. He was protected like that. And Shedeur was playing behind an offensive line that looks like the New York Giants. So
I've watched Shedeur from Jackson State all the way to thing. I do think that there's qualities there that you like. I understand the concern. I have a theory with Shedeur, and I've told you this, where I think if the Giants draft him, and there's two scenarios. He's either going to be the biggest star in New York, and we're going to be greeting each other by holding up our wrists to each other to say hi.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be a complete disaster and the most toxic thing in the world. There's no in between. And at this point, Nick, and I've thought about this outside of the fact that, you know, when you watch them and there's stuff to like, I'm ready to take that chance. I'll take that chance. Yeah, that's where I am as a fan.
And you know what? I'm with you. I go back and forth between the two. I really do. But if you asked me last month, I would have said Cam Ward. I am now leaning more towards Shedeur, not because of what you said, although I do very much respect your opinion on it. I think the whole, I don't want Deion's kid here and Deion is a headache. I think that's really overblown. In fact,
I think Deion wants his kid in New York.
I think so too. And I think the fact that Shedeur has been in the spotlight, Jackson State, he had hundreds of media members at Jackson State. Yeah. Like if there's anybody that can come in and handle New York media, like Deion did with, you know, obviously he was quirky and whatnot, but he's well equipped to handle this.
Yeah.
And that is such a big thing. Like, that is no easy task. Zach Wilson crumbled. Like, obviously, it's with the Jets. He crumbled in front of reporters. horrible. Calling out teammates as rookie, just really, really bad. Daniel Jones, I give him credit. Like Shador, I truly think will come in here, command the room, and be and handle the media like a pro.
Right, I think off people, the rip. Players will gravitate to him.
Absolutely, yes, and that's what I mean. If they're seeing, I speak on the media because I think people like, oh, the New York media thing is overrated. I don't think it is overrated. It eats people up and spits them out. We've seen it on all four major sports that we follow. And when he's going to stand up there and be his confident self and have that gravitas toward him, towards him, those players are going to see that and be like, damn, this kid's a rookie? So I think even off the field, because obviously he's a talent, I think off the field, just his mindset and where he's at and his experience in dealing with the media already at such a young age and such lower level college programs, I think that's only beneficial in New York.
And I think the pressure of being Deion Sanders' son.
Oh, yeah. It's already skyrocketing. Yeah. Absolutely. So absolutely.
That's where I am with Shador Sanders. I've had this thought basically since Josh, we saw the Giants going to Boulder. I think that's their guy. I think they are going to go and try to get that guy. I think there's an outside chance he could fall. You know, Tennessee could take, you know, whatever. I think right now it's early in the process. We're not even at the combine yet. We'll learn more when we get to the combine. But I think there's a shot. I'm not going to call it a good shot, but I think there's a shot they could sit at 3 and Shador falls in their lap. I think Shador's not a guy that I don't think Cleveland is going to take him. I don't think Cleveland's going to take him. And it comes down to somebody coming up in front of the Giants or Tennessee taking him.
I agree 100%. And obviously the team we have to watch is Oakland or Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah.
Yep, that just seems to be like a perfect pairing.
But I think if you ask Deion, these are the three choices: Tennessee, Cleveland, New York. Where do you want your son to go?
I feel like it would be a no-brainer.
I don't think those cleats were a mistake as much as they try to play it.
Yeah. So. And a lot of, you know, I was looking on, you know, I've been looking on Twitter. It's like, oh, well, this is all smoke. All this Giants and Shador stuff. This has got to just be smoke.
It's never been smoke.
I don't think it's smoke. No, I don't. I don't think they've been to any more college games than they were at Colorado. The whole contingency, like they're all in on them. I truly believe that. And obviously losing or winning against Indianapolis took the fate out of our decision. Like, you know, we can do whatever we want. But I do agree with you. I think there's a very strong chance that we will not, knock on wood, fortunately, have to trade future draft capital to move up. So,
yeah.
I, you know what, you kind of swung me a little bit even more. I was leaning that way, and I'm kind of leaning a little bit more now. So,
yeah, I mean, I just
Deion think Sanders, kid in giant blue. Holy shit! What a world! I feel like I'm living in a simulation.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's crazy because you know, a couple years ago, you know, when this whole stuff with Deion talking about I'm not going to let my son go, and it's like, they're you'll never allow his son to go to the Giants. And it's like, well,
his options are Tennessee and Cleveland.
Well, even before his options were that.
Well, yeah, yes, yes.
The Giants color cleats in there. It's like,
It looks like he seems okay with it.
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, well, what could have gave it away? The cleats or him playing catch with Malik Nabers?
You know what? I would like to see that. Those two will hit it off right away. And that's such a big thing. He gets to walk right into a wide receiver one, a bona fide start.
Yeah.
So, and listen, we saw what Dable can do with Daniel Jones for 1 year. Now, that was his ceiling. Like, he would never be better than that. And then, you know, the injuries and whatnot, second year. But I would love to see if Dable can actually coach and make Shador into the guy, because then we're sitting pretty. So
it's either going to be the greatest thing ever, or it's going to be the worst.
It's going to be a catastrophe. Yeah, there's no in between, like you said before. There's no in between.
There's no in between with Shador Sanders and the Giants.
No,
it's either going to be, like I said,
Greatest thing ever. Worst thing ever.
But you know what? We're at the point, to your point, we are at the times now where we need to take that risk.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Nothing else is worth.
You got the owner saying what he's saying. The GM, head coach on the hot seat. Fan base that is just...
Had enough.
You said fried. I think that was the
fried, term. Fried, yeah. Legitimately, emotionally, mentally fried.
And I think they need some sort of adrenaline rush to kind of kickstart them. And maybe it'll be a complete disaster, but at least that first year, it'll be... That excitement will be back, I think.
The excitement for sure will be back. And you know what? If it is, if it winds up being a disaster, all right, fine. You know what? You went down swinging. You tried. Yeah. You swung for the fences. Fine.
Deion didn't like the Giants before. If his son turns out to be a bust of the Giants, it's not like his opinion will change. But
nope.
Snax, I also consider you a historian of the game. I wanted to do a quick thing with you.
Okay. Oh boy.
Well, first of all, rewind.
Okay.
We'll talk Super Bowl real quick. It's the first time I said it on air. I have never been more disgusted with the amount of people that I'm seeing that were not only rooting for the Eagles and not only rooting for, but also rooting for Washington. I don't know why. The Saquon thing, and I refuse to talk about it, but
thank you.
Listen, there's a lot of things to get on this regime about. I don't think, now that I think about it, I wish we would have paid him because he wouldn't have gone to the Eagles, and I think that Eagles season was going to implode 16 different ways at some point in the regular season.
Yep.
For some fucking reason,
never
fucking that guy happened. Kept them together.
Yep. And he stayed healthy.
Yeah. That guy kept them together when they lost their left tackle, when Lane Johnson went down, when there was some weird shit with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and Sirianni early in the year.
Yep.
That fucking guy kept them together.
Yep.
And because of that, I wish we would have paid him. But on the football side of it, they made the decision that I thought was the right for them, and he made the decision that was great for them. That does not mean that I have to be happy for him.
No.
Find success.
No. You got Amani Toomer going on radio airwaves saying, I follow Giants, and Saquon to me is a Giant. I'm rooting for the Eagles.
Get the fuck out of here.
What are you talking
Brandon
about, Amani?
Jacobs. Jacobs. That hit me hard.
That hit me hard, Brandon, too. I consider Brandon my favorite Giant.
Me, too. I just watched highlights of that Cowboy game in 2007 when he threw the... And then I saw him tweet, fly, Eagle, fly.
Yep. Yep. Justin Tuck. Like, this is... I think it's almost more of an indictment on how horrible we are as an organization, where we're at, that our former greats are...
I know the Giants are losers.
Yes.
The only enjoyment that I have with football season is rooting against division rivals.
That's it. That's all we have.
Cowboys in the playoffs or the Eagles in the playoffs. It is so easy for me. Patrick Mahomes, I ordered a Chiefs hoodie that I'm going to wear on Super Bowl
season. I love it.
That's how all in I am on this.
You have to be. Like, I'll preface by saying, I do enjoy seeing greatness, and Dynasty is very cool. I was hoping for like a Detroit Buffalo Super Bowl. I thought
of
that
course,
would just be was. That would be yeah. so awesome. I'm kind of sick and tired of the Chiefs. Taylor Swift. I won't get into it. I can't stand her. Kelsey annoys the absolute hell out of me. But you could catch me dead before I root for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Or be happy for the Philadelphia.
Or be happy for them. No. I hope they all get injured. I don't care. Sorry. You said I can be myself. I will root for injury. Don't care. I do not want... You cannot root for them. You cannot. I don't care if the Chiefs just won the last 10 Super Bowls. And if they win the 11th, then the rest of the league disbands forever. As long as that prevents the Eagles from winning, it does not matter.
It was disgusting to see that.
It's horrible. Just real, I want to rewind to your point about Barkley. I wish we paid him at the time. Yeah, we offered him a fair deal. What I'm upset about is they never had an intention of signing him ever. They could have got something for him at the trade deadline. 100%.
You think they didn't try to sign him after the playoff year, or after the year that everything
got out. I think after the playoff year, when they signed Jones and tagged Saquon, that was always their end game. One more year with him, see how this works. And that's it. I that's what I believe. I don't know. But when your season's down so bad and he's playing on the franchise deal the next season, you know you're not signing. You know it. We saw on Hard Knocks, they made no effort. They made no effort. They always knew this was the end game. How do you not trade him? How do you not get – you probably get a third-round pick for State. I'd be stunned if you didn't. To the – I mean, last year I can't think of the names off the teams off the top of my head, but come on. You would have got something for Saquon Barkley. So that I think that's where I'm most annoyed. But
do you
not
think the owner would have let him make a trade at the deadline?
He let him not sign him. That's so, true. You know, if so, back. So I get what you're saying. It's a lot different in season. It's like, oh, wow, we're already giving up on the season. Well, yeah, John, we're 2-8. Our starting quarterback's out for the rest of the year. I think it's probably a wise decision. But you're right. I have no idea. Probably not. Because it is.
I don't know either. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No. Of course. And that's, yeah. You know, that's the $1 million question. But there was, I don't even think there was any rumblings of.
The only time there was rumblings of a trade was when Joe Shane first got here, that first combine. I know that he asked people, like, hey,
what do you value, Matt? Yeah.
So, yeah, I got so disgusted, man. It hurt me a lot.
It's horrible. And then he breaks the 60-yard run in the first play. It's just like. Put a dog down, please.
But it'll be so glorious, the Eagles.
Oh, it's gonna be amazing.
And I have no sympathy for Eagles. Like there, I'll be honest. Like a part of me was a little bit happy for the Commanders because I know Commanders fans personally living in the DC area. I know them, right? It's a little bit, right?
I get that.
I could never be happy for the Eagles.
No, and.
I've experienced that environment. Like it is.
I went to the link during the COVID year when they only let 7,500 people in. That's the only time I would have went. Me and my brother and my cousins, we went and we said we would never go in a full stadium, but you know what? What's the worst that can happen? Everybody's 20 rows apart.
I was there.
And sure enough, they came after us.
I asked you to go with me. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid ass. What are you, crazy?
It was horrible, man.
It's horrible. It's one of the
worst experiences of my life.
It's a terrible place. They're terrible people. They're scumbags. Their food's overrated. They worship a fictionalized character. It's just, I fucking hate that whole city. I hate that fucking team. I hate that fucking coach. I hate all of them. I'm done.
All right. Well, it is Super Bowl week, and I wanted to ask you this. I consider you sort of a historian, even though, you know, your personality is your personality. You know ball.
I appreciate that.
I made a list of the two Super Bowl runs, 2007, 2011. Seems like it is a long time
ago. It's an eternity ago. I wasn't even legal to drink yet.
There you go. Me neither. Wild card round 27 at the Bucks, the Cowboy game, Green Bay, New England, 11, Atlanta, Green Bay, San Francisco, the Patriots. You know the games.
Yep.
I want you to rank them for me 1-8.
Okay. Oh, I like this. Okay.
Start at eight. The 8-1. So go backwards.
Tampa Bay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, to me, that was walk in the park. Granted, the score we didn't blow them out. It was just like we were that team. So I'll go Tampa number 8. So I may catch some flack for this one. I'm actually going to go. I'm going to go with a Green Bay divisional in 2011. We blew them out in Lambeau. They were 15-1. Rodgers, unanimous MVP. But one, the game wasn't any good. We literally just, we curb stomped. It was over at halftime. After Knicks caught that Hail Mary, it was over. Game was over. So I'm going to go that route. I am then going to go. I want to put this higher just because it's the first playoff game at MetLife. Utter domination against the Falcons, the wild card in 2011. And little fun fact for you and your listeners, I was fan of the game that game. my picture was tweeted on all four Jumbotrons, me and my friend Colin. True story. So I have that very warm in my heart always. So that's 8-7-6.
Which one? The Atlanta game?
The Atlanta game, yep.
Do you know that's the only home playoff game in MetLife
Insane.
Stadium?
MetLife Stadium, it opened in 2010. The Jets and Giants, one playoff game.
One playoff.
Horrible. And you got two teams that play in the building. Unbelievable.
That's actually impressive, actually.
You almost have to try to do that. Yeah. That's how impressive it is. So I'll go 8-7-6 there. Then 5, I am going to go. I hate. See, this is. No, you know what? I'm torn here. You put me on the spot with this one. It's a very good question. I'm going to go with the Cowboys, the divisional round in 07.
Oh, my God.
I know. It should be higher because that was as sweet of a win. It was almost as sweet as the Super Bowl. Watching Jerry's face like that and R.W. McCorder's intercepting that ball in the end zone to end the game. Tony Romo throwing to Terry Glenn, not Terrell Owens, thank you. It was the Patrick Creighton drop that people forget. If he doesn't drop that ball, we don't win that game.
Yeah, he's probably still running.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how Cowboy fans didn't try to kill him. You're right. He probably is still running. I was going to really try to navigate the last four because obviously they're the four most important. But now it's going to come in order. And this is where it gets tricky because I think I think you may hate me for this. You know, I'm just gonna say it right now.
Just say it.
Number one is Super Bowl 42. I'm gonna go to the top. Yeah. Obviously. And I have to put 46 at number two. I have to. I'm sorry, the two Super Bowls, I just
And the two title games.
And then the two title games, right. But
which one
comes first, right? Yep. I am going to put at I'll do four. Well, it doesn't matter at this point. We know which two are remaining. I'm going to put the Niners at four. And this was in this moment, the toughest one because watching Eli get the absolute shit beat out of him all game long, throwing 59 passes and getting up every single time was unbelievable. The punt return fumble for recovery, it was a state of euphoria. It just did like, holy shit, we're gonna have a chip shot field goal go to the Super Bowl. Like, this doesn't happen. And then you rewind 4 years before that, you had a 47-yard field goal in a tundra with the ball hard as a rock after two missed times field goals before that. Brett Favre's last pass as a Packer is to Corey Webster. You had Antonio Pierce with one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen in my life. I don't care what anybody says. Defenders on him, and he takes down Grant on that screen, who 100% walks into the end zone, 50-yard touchdown. That sets it up there. Burris telling the Packers sideline that Al Harris can't guard me, and he couldn't. Coughlin's face. And it just so happens that my family and I had a wake to go to that night, and we did not leave until that game was over. And then when we got there, nobody was sad. Everybody with this poor woman that died is in that coffin. Everybody's in the wake. And everybody's just jubilant, happy. We did it. We're going to the Super Bowl, So I'm gonna go 42, 46, NFC Championship game, Green Bay, Niners, 11. I'm gonna go Dallas 5, Atlanta 6, Green Bay division 11, 7, and then I'm gonna go Tampa 8.
I hope I
didn't disappoint you too much.
Only thing I'll say about my list, and this will shock you. This speaks more to the Dallas game.
Yeah.
I have the Dallas game ranked second.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Obviously, 42 is one. That Dallas game, everything about it.
I respect the hell out of it. Before, yep. The
Jessica
tickets.
Simpson, the tickets, Terrell Owens, that's my quarterback. Eli, yep. Brandon Jacobs breaking the light bulb, beating them, Jerry Jones's face. I mean, when they won that game, I said to myself, we are going to win the Super Bowl.
And sure enough. And you know what? I told you I struggled with putting it there. And I said the reason for the top four is just the importance level of the games and the fact that all four were unbelievable football games.
Just how it made me feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Without question, 100%. That Cowboy game, because I'm sure you know a ton of Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
One of my best friends in the world is a diehard Cowboy fan.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like the bragging rights that you have in and itself is amazing. And you're right. Dallas was nasty that year. Like, very, very good.
Beat us twice.
And to go into Jerry World, they thought they had it right there. Yeah, all the cute little Giants. They hung in with the Patriots week 17. Then they beat the Bucks. Then they were a fine team, blah, blah, blah. That was a statement. And you're right. That's when I'm like, holy shit.
That's when I knew.
We got a shot here.
And then the one thing about that Super Bowl 46 was, I was very confident we were gonna. I didn't think that New England team was good. We were up 9-0. I think Jacobs breaks a run. And I think they call holding. But if they didn't call holding, I think the Giants would have went up 16-0 at one point in the first half. And I think they could have blown the roof off that play.
So you know what's crazy to me? I think if we go up 16-0, I almost don't like our chances. Is that crazy? Just because, I mean, granted, this is way before 28-3, but like, you know, that's Tom Brady and he's down. They're going to be slinging it.
They were getting after him early on that game.
They were. No, they were. They were.
They were moving the ball up and down. Yep. I was just so confident going into that game.
No, you're right.
I actually, San Francisco was the one game that I thought they were going to lose. I was like, there's no way they're going to do this again. Right. I was like, this is the game they're going to lose. Like, San Francisco, their defense is nasty.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a very special year for San Francisco too. They had been bad for some time.
And you remember how that game started? The first drive for San Fran?
Yeah.
Vernon Davis down the sideline.
Yeah. Of course.
So I was like, oh, this shit's going to be over real quick. Yeah. Cause it was not the same. And this is, you know, to Eli's credit, and anybody that says he's not a Hall of Famer can just literally suck my, I won't say that, but you know what I mean?
Of course.
That team without Eli is maybe a two-win team because the talent was not there. The offensive line was not like 08s. The offensive line stunk. They had the 32nd ranked running game, the 30th ranked defense. Sure, yeah, they all got hot at the right time. Thank you, Christ. They did. But that 49er team was stacked every which way on both sides of the ball.
Justin Smith.
Oh, my God. They were
Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman.
They were stacked, and yeah. I could not agree with you more. I had no confidence going into that game.
Me neither. Like, rain, I was like, there's no way.
When I saw the temperature in Green Bay in 07, like, I still didn't fear. I'm like, no, we can beat this team.
Yeah.
And it stemmed from my confidence of how we played against New England. You know, we beat up on the Bucs, and then we beat Dallas in Dallas. I'm like, no, I still feel very confident. I was also very confident after what I saw in Atlanta that we were going to beat Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, because we should have beat them in the regular season when they were undefeated. The two seasons are so eerily similar. But we should have beat them at MetLife when they came in and Travis Beckham had that long touchdown run, or a long touchdown catch. DJ Ware, two-point conversion. I remember this vividly. But I was very confident in that game. San Fran, I was like, I don't like this one.
That's the one game of the run where I was like, man, I actually went into, like, I'm like, I don't know how we're going to win this game. Like, all the other ones, I was like, okay, we
got a shot.
Yeah, we got a shot.
We should win, or we got a shot.
Can ever beat a team three times. And, you know, we were riding that thing off, taking the Patriots to the end in the regular season. But,
yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. That San Francisco game was one game I didn't think we would win. But
no, it was that was, I don't want to say stunning because the team was resilient all year. And, but like, I was so excited to face the Patriots in the Super Bowl that year because people forget we went into Foxborough that year and beat them. I think they were
Jake Ballard.
Yep. That's right.
Eli played that game without his starting center, his starting receiver. I think he was out without Ahmad Bradshaw. He was I think his Manningham got hurt in that game.
Manningham was hurt. Yep. And they went into Foxborough and won after New England, I think, won like 19 games in a row dating up to that point. In Foxborough, and I did not fear them in Super Bowl 46 whatsoever.
Never.
Never.
I was like, give me these money. I actually was more fearful of Baltimore. Remember that year?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep. And yeah. Thank you, Billy Cundiff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was ready. Damn, Julian Edelman playing corner. I was like, guarding Victor Cruz. I was like, give me that, man. Any day of the week, I'll take that matchup.
Please. Any Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, so all right. Well, I appreciate the Dallas thing, and I actually very much like that question. If you gave me 5 minutes to fully think it over, I'd probably
come out. I should have. I know you texted
me. No. I liked it on the spot. I mean, it put me back to the glory days.
Takes you back, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I very much enjoyed it. I probably still come up with the same order, but you're right. I think I may move that Cowboy game up a little bit because of the importance and my hatred for Dallas and everything surrounding it on and off the field. So that was a fun exercise, boys. I appreciate that. Thank you for giving me some happiness of memory for this godforsaken football team.
Let's talk. Let's finish up with some of the other New York teams.
Yeah. All right. Good finish spot.
Let's go. You want to do the good first or the bad?
Always start with the bad.
All right. Yankees.
Yeah.
We talked about the Juan Soto thing. It was never about the money to me. I know that was the ego signing for the Mets.
That was his white whale.
Yeah. I just don't know how it got to the point where somebody would choose the Mets over the Yankees.
That's, to me, that is the telltale sign.
That's what hurt me the most.
Yep. And I couldn't agree more. I get it. The money, years, whatever, cool.
The Yankees went up there too with him. So.
That's the thing, I know. But I also think they cheapskated themselves because they added a 16th year in the offer to lower the AAV. Like, what are you guys doing? You want this guy so much? Then just fucking...
You're willing to go there. Right. But you're not willing to go that extra inch.
Exactly. And then you worry about it in 12 years, 13 years down the line.
Yeah,
like holy hell, you hadn't been in the World Series.
It didn't make sense, right, financially to sign Soto, who quite possibly could be a DH in 3-4 years.
100%, he's a terrible fielder, terrible.
But just sucks that we went up there money wise, and he still chose the Mets.
Mm-hmm. That's
the question I always ask myself.
And then is the Yankee pinstripe aura dead?
I think so too.
You've employed the same parasite for all these years, and roster's never been good. I shouldn't say that. They're always in the playoffs, whatever. But they sell us on it's a failure of a season if we don't win a championship. Okay, 15 years later,
yeah.
They
tell you at the beginning of the season if we don't win a championship, it's a failure. Then they don't win the championship, and they try to sell you on this idea
that it's a crapshoot.
Exactly.
It makes me sick to my stomach. That stupid scumbag, cancerous of a man, Brian Cashman, after he goes, I think it was 2017, whenever, he goes, I'm here to build for championships, not championship. Yeah, asshole? We're 8 years from that.
2009. 15
from the last one.
The Giants won a Super Bowl more recently than the Yankees won a championship.
Yeah, right. And you know, Hal Steinbrenner, this stupid fuck, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not going to say it. But he's tone deaf. He's bitching and moaning about the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Hal, your baseball team is the highest revenue team in professional sports.
Give him a history lesson on his dad. What his dad?
Please. Did. They're worried about a luxury tax. Go the fuck away. If you're that upset about it, sell the fucking team.
You know what the crazy thing is, Nick? He can do exactly what the Dodgers are doing.
Yep.
He can do exactly what the Dodgers are doing.
Yep.
It's one thing you're complaining because you can't do what they're doing, but you have the resources to do exactly what the Dodgers are doing.
Yep. You were literally going to give Juan Soto $760 million, and then you want to bitch about the Dodgers doing what they're doing. Okay. Yep. Okay, buddy.
And that's the thing and then the people that defend it. Listen, they can do what the Dodgers are doing. Don't get mad at they're not doing anything that you aren't capable of doing.
It's all right in the rule.
But the one thing working for the Yankees, I don't think the American League is good.
They suck. The American League sucks. They do. They suck. Thank God. but as they make me sick. They really do.
They piss me.
Get to the good.
The Knicks, 31-16, third in the Eastern Conference.
Disagree. 31-16?
32-16. They just beat the Denver Nuggets.
Yes, they did. Great win.
Got it on right in front of me. Yep.
So do I. Yep. Yep.
They're really good.
They're very good.
Built that roster is really good. The fact that they've taken risks and trades is, I love it.
Yep.
The culture that the Knicks have, it is, these players are the embodiment of New York Knicks basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Each player you love for different reasons. Jalen Brunson, I mean, how can you not love the guy? I mean, he is everything you want in a superstar. OG Anunoby. I mean, the Karl Anthony Towns trade, that to me showed how great the Knicks front office is. To A, pull off that trade.
Yeah.
B, he fit them like a glove. But not only like that, if Howie Roseman, like, that's a Howie Roseman trade.
That's a great
you know?
Point. That's a
so that point. that makes you feel so good. I love where they are. They are title contenders. I think they're
that's the best starting five in basketball.
I agree with you.
Like, I don't
get Mitchell Robinson back. I think that's going to be a big plus.
It's going to be everything. Like, if you think about, and it, you know what, it hurt. Like, Randall, I know he's a popular figure and whatnot, whether you love him or hate him. But he did help bring the Knicks back to relevancy. And then Dante, you wanted to see the Nova boys. Like, right. You wanted to see how this worked. And you see Towns, like, is he, like, tough enough for this? Like, these guys are all scrappy. One, probably Anthony Towns is it could not have been a more perfect fit on this team. And then Josh Hart.
Thing, I didn't even bring up Mikal Bridges.
Bridges has been, you know, he started off slow, yep, but he's been sensational
the
since.
The shooting thing, he's been
great. And then Josh Hart. Josh Hart of any era of New York basketball would be everybody's favorite player. He is the perfect New York Knick. He does everything.
From my hometown, by the way, Silver Spring, Maryland.
No shit, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, a little fun fact.
No, I love the Knicks, man. I love this
they
team.
Are,
and
man,
you know what the beautiful thing about the Knicks is? They're built to compete with the teams that they have to go through to win a championship.
100%. And I think they formalize
this roster. It's just not a bunch of talent. It's guys that fit, that can go up against Boston, can go up against Milwaukee, can go up against Cleveland.
Right, exactly. Boston, their strong suit is perimeter shooting. The Knicks have two elite perimeter defenders in Bridges and OG. And, like, KP torched last year because in the games we played against Boston, when he played, he didn't have to leave the paint because Hartenstein and Robinson weren't threats to move outside the paint. Now you got Towns. He's going to have to go cover that. He opens the court wide open. KP's not going to be able to just sit there, block shots, and grab rebounds all game now. They really... Never in a million years would I have thought the New York Knicks, out of my four favorite teams, the Giants, Yankees, Knicks, and Rangers, that the Knicks would be by far, the most well-run front office and regime in general. They are that good. Leon Rose has not missed at all.
Nope. Oh, so what happens when you hire people and get out of the way?
Yeah, well, that too. The other owners.
Now put your nephew in charge of. Oh, Nick, I want to end it on a good note, though. The Knicks are back. Every time
the Knicks are back.
Then Amari Stoudemire clip.
Probably 500-600 times at this point. Yeah,
they are absolutely back.
They are back, Weiss. Thank you very much, my friend.
Nicky Stacks, it was a pleasure, man. I haven't gone out to MetLife the last couple of years. I was just.
I know. I haven't seen you out there.
I will make the trip out. I think I go to training camp.
Yeah, that training camp's always tough for me.
Yeah, I know, I know. But listen, it's always a pleasure when I see you. We see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Yes, we do.
Across the board, my brother. Across the board.
Literally, all sports. Yeah. And specifically Giants football. And
I never thought there was a guy that was as smart as me when it comes to sports, but I think I may have found some.
Ooh, you know what? I'll take it as a compliment. You're a very smart man.
That's exactly what it is.
A very smart man. No. You got the voice of an angel that even if you said something stupid, you could probably still make it sound smart. So
Yeah.
I'm jealous of that.
I will see you in MetLife. I will come out just for
please,
you.
Please. Please. I would really appreciate it. Can you just rip the Band-Aid off, come to the home opener? That's the best tailgate of the year. Come to the home opener.
I will try.
Just make it the fuck. No. Just make it the fuck happen.
I will try.
The season's gonna be over after September. So,
yeah, we'll see.
All right, we'll talk as we get closer.
Yeah, we'll talk. I'm sure I'll reach out to my shrink. I was gonna say psychiatrist, but I knew New Jersey language. It's shrink.
He just goes to shrink. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on. But I appreciate you having on, my friend. It was a privilege. It was an honor. A lot of fun. You know, through thick and thin. Go yeah. Giants. And
go Giants.
And let's go win an NBA championship this year.
Yes, sir. Go Knicks, baby. Talk to you soon, Nick.
See you, buddy.